Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Let's assemble ourselves and get ready for our morning of worship together. And I have a lot of things we need to cover this morning. So let's begin here with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, just to orient ourselves as to why we got up so early on Sunday morning and made our way here and all these things and past all the big building churches and all to come to the here. So let's kind of thank God and orient ourselves to our worship this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your faithfulness. We are thankful, Father, for your faithfulness to us and this assembly. We pray that you will continue to use this assembly in so many different ways, Father. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Brian, let's begin with song. Thank you, Brian. I didn't know that, but that's beautiful. I like that. Let's sing that regularly. That's a wonderful latitude to praise him. Presbyterian song? All right. Well, we Southern Baptists didn't grow up singing that one too much, but that's a beautiful hymn. Okay, we have lots of things to cover this morning, so. No real order here. In 2 weeks from now, let's see, that would be around the 25th of June. we're going to start something interesting here at our church. Chris Daig, who is taken over the overseeing of the youth camp and all, and just has a heart to see what God wants to do with him, and asked me if I'd mind teaching a course, basic training, and basic training course. This is the course that Dan Hill uses in Africa to teach the pastors. It's used all over the world. The man who designed this course, as I understand, was a graduate of Dallas Seminary. And what he did, he went in and he took the basic procedure of the program laid out at Dallas Seminary and left off a lot of the heifer dust and got right down to the nitty-gritty of what was going on and teaching this program. And so Chris talked to me, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that, having no idea what I was getting myself into. And then I, this week with John, because John taught it when Joe went through it at his church. Joe and several others took it at his church. And so it's going to be some work, but it's going to be well worth it. And I want to open it to everyone in this church if you think you want to be a part. Now, this is the only thing. This is not like Bible class. Well, I don't feel like coming today. Well, I got to go boating today. Well, I got to go this. I got to do that. I got to lay out and get a tan. I want to do this. If you decide to do this, please be committed to do it. And those who go through it will get, if you want it, and it is part of the deal, they have an official certificate that is given by the organization as far as going through the course. And just to give you an idea of the things that will be covered in this course, it's interesting because I went through it in Dallas Seminary over 4 years. We're going to take about a year to a year and a half. And we're going to meet on Sunday afternoon for 2 hours. And but it's just, it'd be well worth your time if you have any thinking of maybe teaching young people or whatever. The course, the first book, the one I have in my hand, and it is Bible Study Methods and of Interpreting the Bible. And then the second book is Old Testament Survey. The third book is New Testament Survey. Another one is Bible Doctrine Survey. Church History is another one. The Spiritual Life, Teaching on the Holy Spirit, is another. And missions, evangelism is another. So these will be, and you've got to, the reason I'm putting it off for 2 weeks, if you decide you want to, get with me, because you've got to buy the books, and I'll tell you where to buy the books. And the first one, just to give you an idea, the first lesson, the first course, the one that's will be on this book, we will be studying, if I can find the page here. Oh, let's see. Bible Study Methods and Rules of Interpretation. Now, I want to say this about to everyone. I have no problem with this. I think everyone needs to have some basic ideas of what they're dealing with when they deal with the Word. But when I teach this course, it will be, and when John taught, it'll be the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But these are things that will guide you in opening this text and seeing how to study and read and understand things that are in the Bible. And so we will go through the procedure for systematic Bible study, observation, interpretation, application. And what happens is a lot of times people, and this happened in seminary, just in observation want to do interpretation. No, it's like, well, that's a sound truth that you're saying. That's a sound doctrine you're saying, but not in this verse. Not here. And I remember when Dr. Hendricks, Howard Hendricks, who I just loved in seminary, he was, he just, all right, gentlemen! And little guy, and he was just a super guy. We had observation. And he would give you a paragraph, maybe to say 9, 10 verses, and you would, or whatever number, and you'd write down the number of observations. Well, a lot of us, just, we'd go through and have maybe 100, 110. Most everybody else had 10 or 15. And he really didn't know what to do about us. He didn't know to put down too much or very good or, you know, he didn't know really what to do with us. But he saw that we understood the principle of interpreting the Bible, and a lot of people don't. I was telling John that after 4 years in seminary, majoring in Hebrew, this guy down the hall, won't give his name or anything, but he came and knocked on my door the last week. We're going to graduate this weekend. Came knocking on my door. And I, hey, come on in. Oh, John, come on in. And he came in and he said, I want to talk to you about something. And I said, okay, what do you want? He said, Herman, what is exegesis of the Bible? Now, this man had majored in Hebrew. I mean, he took 4 years of Hebrew and Greek. And so we sat down. And this is no compliment to me, I'm just saying. But he said, I have learned more of what I've been doing these 4 years in these 2 hours that you've spent with me than I had the whole 4 years I've been here. Now I know what I've been doing. And he said, I wish I'd have known a lot that I've known right now at the very beginning going through all these Hebrew courses. He said, I would have studied them differently. I would have taken it differently, a different attitude, a different seeing things in a different way, in studying the Bible. So people hear men go through seminary and do some of the things that are taught out here. And what I want to give you is the benefit of my 35 plus years. But we're going to do this, as I said, starting on the 25th of June, 2 hours, 1:30 to 3:30. Every Sunday afternoon, and there's only, going by the curriculum program, only so many absences will be allowed, and all of this, and you have assignments and different things, and I'll go ahead and tell you, my wife said, well, I'd like to come, but I don't want to do the assignments, I don't want a certificate, and I said, so you just want to audit it, and she said, yeah, I just want to audit it, and so I can get the information. So please think about this, and it will be just extremely effective for yourself as you grow in the Word, as you may minister in different things. Romeo, yes, sir. Okay, the name of the book is a Basic Training Center for Pastors. And let's see here. Bible Study Methods and Interpretations of the Basic Training Center. I have the address up here and all of that where you can order these things. So if you are interested, please let me know and email me, call me. Don't tweet me because I don't want to get into a wiener thing. So just don't go tweeting me. Either email me or phone me and or come up and talk with me and we'll get this taken care of. But I do hope many of you will think about this. It's just as a whole new adventure in seeing what's going on in the Bible, and you'll be able to just open the Bible and have a wonder of joy of studying the Bible. It's just amazing. John and I were talking this week. It's something we said we can't tell you on here. I'm going to tell you. But we've both been studying the Bible for over 35 years. And we just realize how little we know. And you just learn a little. And for 35 years, we wish we had a whole 3 or 4 more lifetimes just taking what we know now. And so I will try to incorporate a lot of that experience over the years as we go through this. Some things I will spend a longer period of time on than they require. Some things I'll spend a lot less time. I will just read through it and do the reading and maybe an assignment or two and then move on. So it's just going to be at our pace and what we're doing in that respect. So any questions on this? Yes, sir. Let me see if the author's name is on here. Romeo, Dennis J. Mock, M-O-C-K. Dennis. Dennis. D. D as in Delta. D-E-N-N-I-S. Dennis J. Mock. M-O-C-K. All right. So please bear that in mind. Yes.
Is this pass-fail?
No. 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 I, you know, the old-fashioned way for pastors in American history and in history itself, and other in church history leading up to America, were that men that aspired to be pastors, they lived with a pastor, lived in his home, and they studied the Bible and the Greek and the Hebrew and all this, and then when either the opportunity or the need or whatever, or the pastor just got tired and kicked them out, they would go out and start becoming a pastor and all. And then and then they started seminaries, which had some good points and some very bad points, and now very bad historically. But so this is what we're, this will be what we're doing. Okay. Now next, in regard to the Risleys, it's just amazing, people. Mexico, you read about people killing and people dying, but people are being saved. People are being led to the Lord. The Risleys just, they'll just be, still go, they'll be driving along. Well, we, you know what, we haven't been to that house way over there. Let's just take the van up in there and go up and just knock on the door. And next thing you know, they have, as the old story goes, they led those people to the Lord, and then they won't let me bring in my brothers and my sisters and my friends and show that Jesus film to them, and it just goes on and on and on. And now John's church doing thousands of lessons for them, putting them up, carrying them down to Mexico, and okay, if we die going, they just go into northern Mexico, and then it works its way down further south by the churches, but they just feel like it's got to be taken down there. So the Risleys will work up the program, and they take it down. So continue to be in prayer for the entire Risley family. Grady and Courtney, she is, now that she's had her baby and the baby's doing pretty well, her and her husband back into the ministries in Mexico, and they just go into a village, and she takes her sort of a little medical van, gives out free medical service, advice, and helping of people, and then, of course, they're there to give the gospel, and just a committed family, people. As did Pat and Bill Risley live in a place, just to let you understand some of these things, they have cold water, but they have no hot water. They take all their showers, their baths, everything's in hot water, cold water. But they don't even think about it. They don't even worry about it. Bill told John, they were talking about the agent that we're getting, and he said, well, Pat and I can no longer just sleep on the ground. We realize we can't do that. And But bless her heart, they're leading people to the Lord. And I brought back, rather than having mail, a stack of the new letter. I'm not going to read through it. There's a whole lot of them out there. The Risley Family Ministries and John Ince's church does all of the printing and these type of things. Judy Hintz edits it, and then they get it printed up. And the men carry out the lessons, but these things are mailed to various people. So please pick up one of that. And also, brought back, if you haven't picked up one of their 2011 calendars, he had a lot of those left, so I brought back a handful of those in case you just would like to get it and read about the family and what the family is doing. So please be in prayer for the Risleys at this time. Next, I met Buck. He's a pastor in Phoenix. It's going to be at our youth camp. And I'll tell you what, the young people are going to like him. He is so good. He is just, he's young, got that energy, and he's just has a good rapport with young people. And Chris Day asked him about teaching and all. He said, absolutely, Herman's already talked to me, I'd love to, but I want to stay in a cabin with the kids. I don't want to stay in any teacher's cabin or anywhere else. I want to stay in their cabin. I want to interact. I want to get to know the guys in my cabin. So that's just his attitude. So what kind of guy this? He's a ranger, ex-ranger, and Army ranger, and just a super guy. that loves kids, a minister with a lot of kids, and their camp is the week before ours. And Buck was just really impressed that ours is $50 per child, which to me is still high, but just to give you an idea, his is $199 per kid. Another camp that's in our kind of our movement is $350, and the one in Alabama is $500 per kid, and they're not getting a whole lot more than what we're doing. So I just am so thankful for these various events that you people have contributed, the Christmas things and the car wash and the chili cook-offs and the various things that we've done, and to keep this down so we can have more. And I wish Larry were in here, but Larry said we have 92. We have 92, and I guess there are no more. Can't take any more. I just think that's wonderful. I just think that is wonderful. And various ones of you have volunteered a scholarship. In other words, a young person that couldn't even, family couldn't afford the $50. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, just,
the overflow what?
Coming to Camp Ramsey.
Yeah. I got it. Well, can we send over ours over there? that is just so super. Please be in prayer that some of these kids do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, come to know as Savior. Others not committed to understanding the Spirit-filled life by faith. Others not committed to studying His Word, understanding what's going on. Please be in prayer for the young people, the teachers, the counselors, the workers, everyone that's there. Now, y'all are going to set up and do the kitchen, right? So is everything kind of rolling in shape there? Can't buy the food yet. There you go. Good. All right. Okay. Did it look pretty good? Oh, we're going up this coming Tuesday. All right. Okay. Can I go? Can I go? No? No? I'm not allowed. All right. I just thought I'd see if I could go. Oh. All right. So just be in prayer. Be in prayer. And I'm just going to let you know the heart, your heart in the money that you've given. And I received a call from one of our members, really, out of town. And when I was in Tucson, and he said, well, how are things going for the youth camp and all? And I told him, and so he said, well, I'm going to send enough to cover the balance of what's still needed. And you'll be getting that in the mail. And I just love the heart. I love the attitude that we have for these young people. Because people, we're not going to be here, your loves aren't going to be here very long. Jim Passmore isn't here right now, but we're going to have to pass this baton off to somebody to sit where you're sitting and take our place. So we've got to start training them, because they're not going to get it in schools and in society. They're not going to get it there, and in a lot of churches they're not getting the truth. So it's going to be down to those that teach. Okay. Now, next, for here at the church, people, if you have an assembly, a church, there's just things that need to be done. I mean, you don't just come in, sit down, and leave. And I think that's why, one reason that a lot of people go to these mega churches, because they don't have to do anything. They just, the only thing they have to do is fight their way from the parking lot to their seat. And, when we have an assembly, there are things to be done, not just financially. And we need you to check this bulletin board back here. But right now, we need people to sign up for cleaning the area. And this isn't a big deal. But just to clean here and get it ready each week. And then for the picking up of the all-important donuts. And so we need someone to volunteer to do both of those things. And Jim, was there anything else that was lacking on that list as far as, okay, we need those things to be taken care of. So please think about that. We have to all chip in to get things done. Now, Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about Thomas. I talked to Terry this morning and just kind of gave you an idea of what's going on with Thomas. For 8 days, he did a chemo injection every 6 hours.
4 days.
4 days. Every 6 hours. Starting yesterday, just once a day, every 24 hours, but a different kind of chemo and heavier dose. His body is responding to all of this by throwing up more, and now he's getting soreness in the joints of his body, and these are all things that they would expect to happen. So they're giving him a dripping of pain medication, and then they're giving him medication to clean out his bladder and his kidney. And this is the one to me is just really frightening. They're giving him a medicine to wipe out all the T cells. And people, T cells are fundamental to our immune system. I mean, that's how the immune system works, is on T cells, if you know anything about it. And so you got to get his body completely clear, and so that when the cell transplant comes in, and that will be Thursday. Wednesday is what they call a day of rest. And so it just nothing will be going on, and then Thursday he will start this is what all of this has been about. This whole thing has been about what will start Thursday. So please be in prayer. Please be in prayer for Thomas, be in prayer for the doctors, and please be in prayer for Rick and Terry. And their perseverance of faith has just been a real blessing to watch and listen to. So please be in prayer. Yes. And the person donating, absolutely. And they will not really get to know him or that her, if they know it's a her, until a year and a half after. Because if he doesn't make it, there's no reason that the donor should know who there was and all that. So, but a donor and the recipient are not really, allowed to meet for a year and a half after some type of donations of their body. Now, yes. Saturday, June 25th. At where?
Five Star Ford in Plano.
Okay. So everybody got that? And so please remember that. And Rick works. They gave a benefit Thursday night,
Friday
night. And it was just really a wonderful success. Y'all were there. It was a wonderful success, and they raised over $8,000. Yeah. And everything was given, and so that nothing was charged for the food or different things that were there. So that worked out really good. For the next thing I want to talk about, by way of before we get into it, it's going to be all my time, but I'd like you to look at Romans chapter 5 with me a moment. For my next sharing with you some things. Yeah, but we're not in a study. This is all in announcements. This is all in announcements. One never knows around here. You're right. I had a wonderful time in Tucson. I always do with John and Judy. And with that assembly, they're our sister. I mean, their congregation's like ours. Ours is like theirs. You could sit down with them and just fellowship immediately. And, they with you. They're just, wonderful people. And, but Tuesday was an interesting day. Tuesday morning, went with John, and John spoke at an old folks home. I want you to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom we, through Christ, also have obtained our introduction by faith to the grace in which we stand, eternal salvation. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. I want to tell you about John. Some of you know him, some of you don't. He went in with these old people, and some of them just barely there, others a little more healthy, but they're all in their last place. They know it. Okay. Well, I don't know that there is a number that we can talk about, but it's more what you can't do in life. They just can't do things in life. Now, and yeah, yeah. But they bring him in, and these he has the largest group of in. They have other religious people, pastors come in and stuff. He has the most, and they told him the reason is that one, he's funny with them. He makes them laugh, keeps them awake. But most important, he just talks to them about dying. He just talks to them about going home and meeting the Lord. He just talks to them about where you are. You know, this is the last stop before heaven. And they like that honesty. Everybody else tries to step around it and talk around it and avoid it. And they don't like that. They prefer just straight on. And as I sat there listening to him, and I thought of this phrase, the hope of the glory of God, the way he communicated with these old people said, I don't think I could do it. It was just really super watching him communicate with these older people. And you saw all kinds in their different stages, not stages of health, but stages spiritually. And it was just something. Then, that afternoon, we drove over to the other side of Tucson to the Salvation Army Center. He has a class of about 35 men that are getting through being drug addicts and alcoholics. And they're in their second stage of, I forgot how many days, but the first 90 days they're level one, and then the next 90 days, which is his time to teach them. And people, I mean, he had them right there. They call him the captain of the Salvation Army, and the colonel and all that. They're just so impressed. I mean, he just got right down in their level, used them as illustrations, and wasn't afraid to talk about it. And he said, I forgot the different things, but the thing is, we don't want to go back and take spice or something like that. And he goes, now my friend Herman doesn't even know what he thinks spice is, salt and pepper and garlic and things like that. He doesn't know what we're talking about, but we all know what we're talking about when we say off of spice. And they all shook their head, and they had their Bibles, and they interacted. It was really beautiful. He was talking about now God loves all of us. And one of them just raised his hand. This was just remarkable. Roman and these class, these are volunteer. Being at this class is not, but being in the program, you got to say, I want to get straight. I want to get dry. And so one just raised his hand and said, why would God love me? And I mean, I just thought, that is a super question. But it's spoken by someone who says, look, I know what kind of person I am. I know what I'm coming out of. Why would God love me? And boy, John just walked around and almost just talked directly to him, but talked to everyone. And other ones, they get into it, and he's told that they don't do that in any of the other classes. They interact, and they all have their Bibles. And it was just a real pleasure to see him give to the exalt and the hope of glory for these men. That, you know, they got a life now in front of them if they stay dry. And the Salvation Army has a wonderful program that's free, totally free. And they help them once they get through the whole deal, get a job and get out with the world. They go back and they help them with court cases they may still have pending, and go to court with them. And most judges are pretty lenient. They're, okay, you're went through all of this, you're making an effort, I'm going to drop these charges, I'm going to drop this, I'm going to drop that, and help these men get back to their life. But it was just interesting to me to watch him give the hope of the glory of God to these old people, and then in an entirely different way, the hope of glory to this group of men. And I would say most all of them were maybe between 25 and 40. and see him give them the hope of glory. So what I want to do, the whole reason for spending this much time talking about it, is that I want to have John here for a week conference, and I hope you'll come. I don't know when he'll be able to, and all that, but I hope you'll come during the week, because John's, he's remarkable. He's a great teacher, and I just encourage you to bear that in mind. Now, we talked about Thomas in prayer. Is there any other prayer things that I need to be aware of that may have happened since I've been gone? Yes, sir.
In the Philippines right now.
Oh, okay.
And he is requesting for a prayer for his son, because his son is applying for a scholarship, soccer.
Okay.
One of the very prestigious universities in the Philippines, De La Salle University.
Okay.
So he's requesting for a prayer.
Okay.
His son, his name is Soren.
All right. Now, what we're going to do is, remember, William is a friend of Gerald Weber, and they live in Houston, and he really has a ministry in Peru, but he's in the Philippines this last week. Good. Right now. Okay. So let's be in prayer for William and for this other gentleman, and bear that in our prayer time. Anything else that we need to bear in prayer? Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. No gimmicks, no rewards for giving, no tithing. It's simply the leading of the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we are aware that if before you all things are free by grace. But we live in a world of Satan's controlled by the cosmic system. And therefore, Heavenly Father, we have the wonderful opportunity contribute to the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Spreading of the gospel through the internet, through publications, right here in our own home, in this assembly, Father. And then in the missionary activity, our young people. Father, we're just so thankful you've seen fit to use this humble assembly. And we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5, and we have moved to verse 3 in Romans 5. So let's begin with the word of prayer, a very important prayer. This is not a ritualistic prayer, it's a prayer to test yourself, it's a personal prayer. See if you're trusting the Spirit, who is the teacher. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this text, but it would do us no avail if we did not open the Scriptures and study them and allow your Spirit to show us things, reveal to us things going on in them. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, things that are important to our daily life, to our fulfilling the purpose why we're left here on earth after believing in Jesus Christ. While there's tribulation in our life and suffering and adversity. So, Father, we pray now these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've moved to verse 3. And verse 3 of Romans 5 says, and not only this, In other words, we exalt in the glory of God, but not only do we exalt in the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulations. And this brings us to our study that we have been in, and we're going to try to finish it up this morning, and that is a study of tribulation. Now, this will be just a study of it. You will keep on experiencing this every day, probably, or in various parts of days for the rest of your life. But as far as the seeing and putting together some thoughts on tribulation, I'll finish this up. Now, what we have done is just to kind of go through it very quickly to where we left off. Tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis. It's a descriptive word, and by that the word describes what's going on. It means to crush, to press, to squeeze, to break your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it's designed to do. It is designed to break your faith in Jesus Christ. And so sometimes it will work, sometimes it will not work. But this is what it's designed to do. Generally speaking, a lot of Christians can make it through a short term deal. But when it just keeps going on and on and on, soon the tribulation squeezes you out. And in this, I like to use Rick and Terry as examples through this whole study, knowing that they are still persevering in faith, as of this morning in my conversation with Terry, that it just keeps going on. People, it drains you. Just drains. Why do I want to go to Bible class? Why do I want to study? Why do I want to thank God? Why do I want to pray to God? Why all of this? It just keeps squeezing. And its objective is to wipe out your faith. What is important is the word is the fact that this may be internal or external. And most important introductory principle, do not try to figure out where the tribulation is coming from, or how the cause of the tribulation in your life or in someone else's life. What I mean is, do not try to figure out if this is from God, from Satan, from the world, from me, my sins. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you got a gunshot wound, the doctor doesn't ask you if it's from friendly fire, enemy fire, or self-induced. He's going to handle it the same way. All tribulation has got to be handled the same way by believers. It doesn't matter if it's from your own sinful decisions. Doesn't matter if it's from God. Doesn't matter if it's from Satan. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You and I are being tested in regard to continue to walking by faith. All right, very quickly, Roman numeral 1. Old Testament background to the study of the word of tribulations and tribulation as a result of sin. And in a summary type of statement, yeah, all tribulation is a result of sin. Adam and Eve in the garden. So that would be why we would spend time, if we were going to do an exhaustive study from that standpoint. Just being a member of a fallen human race is going to bring tribulation in our life. 2, God often brings tribulation on man. 3, tribulation brought by the adversary Satan. 4, the world due to its hatred of God and hatred of the Messiah. We saw this in John 16:33. The last words Jesus Christ said to the disciples and to us. His last words. Let's just get it. Look at John 16. Look at John 16. The last words of Jesus Christ. We're in the midst of studying these right now on Wednesday night. The last words. And then chapter 17, he goes into his prayer, and then the arrest, and the trials, the beatings, and then the crucifixion. So these are the last words he says. These, verse 33, these things, and I believe this goes all the way back to John 13:1, upper room discourse, and things that happen after the upper room discourse. I have spoken to you. People, Jesus Christ did the most teaching on the Holy Spirit than anyone in all of the Bible. Now, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ did the most teaching on the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ did most teaching on prayer. He introduced a change in prayer. Never before had they prayed to God as Father. Now you and I could pray to God as Father. Never before have prayers been in the name of Jesus Christ. Never before a prayer has been answered in the name of Jesus Christ. So he taught about the Spirit-filled life, the change in history, therefore, in that regard, and then in prayer. So those are just some. And then he ended up in chapter 15, 16, the world hates you. But remember, it hated me first. And because it hates me, it hates you. These things I have spoken to you for your advantage, if you know them, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Okay, do you see the difference? You may have peace. You may not. But you will have tribulation. You live on this earth, member of the human race, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to come. You're not going to get out of it. Not going to get away from it. It's here. Now, you can have peace in the midst of the tribulation. That will be up to you. Do you walk by faith in the Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So you can have joy. Count it all joy. You can count tribulation joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can have peace in tribulation if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Roman numeral 2, New Testament and tribulations. The word is most often used to describe the sufferings of the people of God, believers in Jesus Christ, the church. The suffering of tribulation by believers is part of sharing the suffering of Christ. And people, I don't care if this is suffering because of your sin, suffering from the world, suffering in the world, suffering directly from the world because of your witness of Christ. When you go to the solution part, walking by faith in the Spirit, here's the issue. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. People are going to have to understand, how can I count where? My main objective here is, how can I exalt in tribulation? How can I tell Rick and Terry to exalt in what's going on with their 14-year-old son? How can I tell any of you to exalt in tribulations that you're going through that are designed for you? Well, maybe yours isn't like that, but it's designed for you. It's designed to chop your faith, to crush your faith, walking by faith, continuing to persevere in faith. And one of those things is just to realize we have the privilege of suffering for Jesus Christ. I like to use the example all the way through this. Little guy, and I just picked on a little guy, playing football, let me in. But you're going to get hurt. I don't care. I don't want to sit on this bench. Put me in. But you've got a broken nose. I don't care. It's okay. It's okay. Put me in. I don't want to sit on the bench. Now, he's going to hurt. There's tribulation. All that. But he wants in the game. People, when we realize what this tribulation is about, put me in. Let me have my tribulation. I don't want to sit on the sideline, Father. I want to be in the spiritual warfare. I want to reflect the glory of Christ where it would not be reflected in this way if I wasn't going through the tribulation. Okay, 3. Remember, no matter how difficult or challenging your tribulations may be, they are not to be compared with the tribulations during the great tribulation, the last 7 years of the promised years of the age of Israel. Roman numeral 3. Tribulations due to decisions in life. They're not from God, not from Satan, not from the world, but in the world. Just in the world. Okay? Sin. Suffering from rejection of authority. Very common in our society today. Very common. And too many are not being held responsible. Young children, kids. So the day's coming. People, we're not going to be able to continue in American history the way we're going with the war policies we have in play. You better understand that. You're just not going to get by without living up to responsibilities. So rejection of authority is one of the primary problems of suffering. Criminal activity there. 3, suffering from immorality. 4, suffering from divine discipline from God, for the love of God, to get you back into faith recovery. B, poor decisions, this is all from the world, in the world. Poor decisions in regard to health, drinking, drugs, maybe smoking, overeating, all these kind of things. Can't blame God, can't blame the world. I can't blame Bluebell manufacturers, because I can't resist it. That's not their fault. That's my fault. See? So this is the discipline. This is the tribulations that go on just being in the world. See? Poor decisions in regard to romance. People, I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about there are some people that some girls fall in love with and some guys fall in love with throughout their life. It's just tribulation. It's just tribulation. It isn't. I'm not even talking about sin here. I'm just talking about this person, this guy, this gal brings tribulation into your life. But we can't help who we fall in love with, maybe. I don't know. But it's going to bring tribulation. All right. Four, tribulations in the world, in life, war, weather disasters, disease, earthquakes, tornadoes, heats, coldness, floods, tsunamis, volcanoes, the fires. Arizona's just being burned up by a little fire. It's the largest one in their history now, and I understand it's the largest in American history. Now, the number of acres that have just been burned up in Arizona, New Mexico, coming over to Texas. But all these things, they're just part of being in the world. National disasters, economic depression, dictatorship, military police, unfair judicial system. People, I hate flying anymore. I used to love to fly. I used to love it. My God, you can't dress up because you got to undress for them. Got to take off your shoes, take off your belt, take off your coat, take off everything. There's people with guns all over the place. It's just no fun. No fun. Well, this is a sign of things to come. Circumstances of life. Orphans and widows of James 1:27. Tribulation from people. People, become a monk in a monastery. You're going to have tribulation because of people. People have an old sin nature, and that's it. Point six, suffering. This to me is the biggest one. Suffering from failure of walking and living by faith. This is one of the primary sources of tribulation in a believer's life. Failure to trust God. Failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And therefore, great suffering in life. Let me explain to you this way. We have a lot of things happening in America, if not in the world, across the country. Floods, fires, famines, tornadoes, earthquakes. On and on and on. It's just God doing something to us. The way I'd rather look at it is, it's not like God doing something to us. It's God moving away from withholding, protecting, and guarding. He just sort of draws back. Why? Because there are fewer and fewer believers walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. And when you have fewer and fewer believers walking by faith in the Spirit, you have fewer places, fewer impact of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the restraining ministry of the Spirit. So I think a lot of what's just going on is removal of the restraining by God. I think we've lost a number of people that are walking by faith in the Spirit, and therefore you have the less influence of God. Yeah. The less influence of God, less influence of the Holy Spirit's ministry, less influence of the impact of the Word of God. And because people, let's just face it, if the witness of Christ and the ministry of the Spirit is not in places where it was, those places become dark. And God, you see less and less of the restraining ministry of God in people's lives and in that society. So it's not like it's God's saying, okay, I'm going to bring these things on this country. I'm going to bring floods. I'm going to bring tornadoes. I'm going to bring drought. I'm going to bring fire. No, I'm just holding back, restraining now. There's just, the restraining ministry is no longer as it once was. And we're turning back into a dark continent. Okay? Multitude of believers suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression due to failure of keeping their mind set on Him. And one thing that I say nearly every time I walk away from seeing Thomas, I just, I will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on Thee. Keep your mind straight, young man. And this is difficult for us to think about, but if you just think about it, if we get caught up in the world, get caught up in our finances, in our health, in what's going on and what isn't going on and on, people, this is why we want to walk by faith. Faith sees what the eye does not see. See, our eye sees the tribulation. Our eye sees the conflict and the suffering in our life. Faith sees the power of God. Faith sees the plan of God. See? That's the whole difference there. So this is the importance of walking by faith. Roman numeral 7, understanding tribulation. 1 John 16:33, understanding tribulation from the world can be a source of inner peace during suffering of tribulation. Doesn't necessarily going to be. But if you know how to walk in the faith and the Spirit, it can be peace to you. If you understand it. Take that little example, that little guy. He knows the team across the line has got to kill him. He knows they're going to hit him. He knows they're going to step on him. He knows they're going to put their knee in his back. He knows they're going to do all these things. I don't care. I want in. I understand that. That's what they're designed to do, and I'm designed to overcome it and get the ball across the line. And I want in. People, if we understand the conflict that we're in, the spiritual warfare that we're in, where if you want to make it through life without the conflict and all these things, then people, you don't want in the game. And I got news for you, you're not worth very much. It's like the kid who just wants to sit on the sideline, sit on the bench. You don't want to do that. I want in the game, coach. I didn't come here to sit on the bench. And I know I hurt, I know I could get hurt, I know I could get killed out there. Every now and then, high school player gets killed. But I want in. I want that opportunity. And that's exalting in tribulation. In that sense, now we put it in the spiritual realm. I get to witness for Christ in a way that I would not before, in a way that He's not being witnessed for. See, that's what's important here. That's why I want you to encourage us to be in prayer for one another. See, Rick and Terry is so obvious because we all understand a 14-year-old son lying there facing death. We understand that. But every one of us, every one of you suffer from various tribulations in life. And we need to be in prayer for one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another in regard to the warfare that we're in. Maybe financial. May not be health. It may be financial. It may be health. Just a lot of different ways that tribulation comes into our lives. Secondly, tribulation, when from the world and or Satan, is always designed to break down one's faith. From walking by faith, trusting in the Lord, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and again, do not try to figure out the source. It doesn't depend on the source. Solution's the same. Walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, trusting Him, what He's doing in your life and in life itself. Three, tribulation is designed to crush the spirit of man, crush your faith, crush your will to go on growing in the Word of God, to stop following Christ, stop coming to Bible class. It just didn't do me any good. I'm too tired. It's too rough. This is too rough. I'm hurting too much here. I don't really have time to come and take in the Word of God. It's what it's designed to do, people. It's what it's designed to do. It's designed to break you down. Break down your faith, because faith sees what the eye cannot see. The eye sees the tribulation. Faith sees the power of God. Four, the ultimate goal of tribulation is to eliminate the presence of Jesus Christ from the world. Get rid of all who witness for Him, to darken any and all influence of Him in society. So every time a believer does not give in, does not faint from being a witness of Christ, Satan loses, and the light of Christ continues to shine in the world. That's what happens when you and I don't give in. When we give in, it's darkened. It's darkened. See? So this is what it's designed to do. People, the whole, and you got to understand, Satan understands this so well. The whole ideology, the false ideology of the religion, of the Islamic religion, kill Christians, kill Jews. We've got to get rid of any influence of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to talk to some Russians who were reared in all of this stuff under communism that have become Christians. And one, John talked with, okay, when I was a little child, my parents always, there is no God, there is no God. Then at school, there is no God, there is no God. And it made me wonder, why are they so insistent there is no God? What's going on? They're not that insistent that there is no boogeyman. Now, if it comes up, they'll say, there's no boogeyman under your bed. But every day I don't hear, there is no boogeyman, there is no boogeyman. At school, they don't teach, there is no boogeyman, there is no boogeyman. They don't do that. But there is no God. There is no God. We've got to get that. Why? And then when they heard the gospel, became God conscious, they realized why all of that was going on. That's the whole objective of the Islamic religion. To get rid of the influence of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Even religions that are under the umbrella of Christianity, they're not into Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only Savior. He is the enemy of the world. And the whole deal is to get rid of the witness. So you're going to have to ask yourself, if things get stronger and worse in this society, you going to be so bold to carry your Bible? So bold to come to Bible class? So bold to witness for Christ? Or are you going to drift back into the darkness? 5. One of the greatest issues of tribulation is the perseverance of faith during the suffering. As in the case of Job, when we studied the case of Job. Roman numeral 8, biblical study of tribulation in the New Testament. The tribulation is not able to separate us from the love of God. And the first thing in the list, shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation. The first thing mentioned. Why is that the first thing? Because that's what happens. We think it separates us from the love of God. We saw this morning in our study of 1 Corinthians that when people are enduring tribulation, they begin to wonder, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Boy, was all this going on? If I'm really saved, why is all this continuing on and on? Now, not able to separate you from the love of God. That's a stabilizing factor in tribulation. 2, it doesn't matter the source again. 2, the challenge for the believer is to persevere in tribulation. It does not matter the source. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. If you do not have a solid foundation in the Word of God and rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long under tribulation. This is seen in Matthew 13, 20 and 21, which we studied, read. If you don't have a solid foundation, or not rooted, it's like that little twig and the wind's coming, just blows it down, but something really rooted. It may bend, but it doesn't fall. 4, we are promised tribulation from the hatred of the world from the beginning of the church. Matthew 24, 8 and 9, compared with John 15 and 16, full chapters. Christ has told us there'll be tribulation. There'll be tribulation from the world because they hate you. There'll be tribulation in the world because the whole world is under this curse, under the sin and under curse. Acts 14, 22. This is from the beginning throughout the church age. They came in to encourage one another in regard to tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Repeated throughout the church age history. The idea of encouraging one another, praying for one another, not judging one another, not maligning one another, not bad-mouthing one another, not competing with one another, not biting one another. We're in tribulation. Everyone is. We're to encourage one another, serve one another in love, strengthen one another, encourage them to continue to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Hebrews 10:23, Hebrews 10:32 and 39, all these passages dealing with encouraging one another in regard to tribulation. Then we looked at the church of Smyrna. I love what goes on in Smyrna. You're suffering tribulation. All these things are happening. And then he says, don't be concerned about the tribulations to come. Wait a minute. There's more coming? This isn't the first team we're fighting here? See? They're going to throw you in prison. Some of you will die. On and on and on. I still believe Smyrna could never have had a membership drive. I don't think very many people would have wanted to join the Church of Smyrna. Let's drive on down to Ephesus. They got these big buildings, and they may not be doing it right, but at least they're okay. They're not suffering down there. I'm not joining the Church of Smyrna. Let's just drive on by. All right. 5, tribulations can be extremely severe. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 almost to the point of death. 6, if you're suffering for the glory of Jesus Christ, because of your witness for the Lord, it is light when compared to eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17. The suffering we're going on is light when compared to the eternal glory of Jesus Christ. 7, God uses tribulation to move some people in diaspora, Acts 11:19. 8, this one that serves as a warning, and I have to be careful with this, being newly married. They said, my being newly married has nothing to do with this. This is from the Bible. From the Bible, not personal experience. 1 Corinthians 7:28. See? And again, it's not the source of the tribulation. It's not the source. It's what you do with it. Walking by faith. Let's get this one off real quick. All right. Point 9, we'll pick it up next, finish up 9 and 10 next Sunday morning, and just kind of let you think about these things, and then we'll finish up the tribulation and find out one of the reasons why we exalt in the tribulation. Okay. All right, any questions about what we studied, about the announcements, about anything? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, well, Father, we're so thankful for the game plan book. We know that athletes are given game plan books and they have to study them and study them and study them. Know what their route in the pass formation is. Know what they're to do in a blocking formation, tackling formation, all these types of things. It's so important to them. This book is so important to us. This book is vital to us. As fundamentally, Father, it tells us that you love us. We never want to lose sight of that. And that you are a faithful God. Your love never changes. Nothing can separate us from your love. Not tribulation, not sin, not the world, not angels. Nothing can separate us from your love. Father, we're so thankful that your Son has warned us that there will be tribulations in the world, from the world. And all that we have to do is to keep walking by faith, keep trusting you. Father, I pray you'll take the things that we've seen this morning in our study, let them bear into our souls and then into our lives, Father, when we do suffer tribulation and when we encounter friends, members of the church and friends and family that are in tribulation. Ours is not to judge why and what's going on. We're to encourage, strengthen, to walk by faith. Keep their eyes fixed on you. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.